Name of my sermon this morning is, I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. You see, Jeremiah was a prophet for 40 years, and much of that time included the Babylonian captivity, where the country of Babylon conquered Israel. And before then, Jeremiah spent his time going around preaching to people, teaching people, begging people to follow God's ways. And they ignored him, made fun of him, ridiculed him, cast him out. He got divorced. He was a really sad person, but he kept spreading God's word, but no one would listen to it. And so the Babylonian captivity of the people of Israel started around 597 BC and lasted as long as 70 years. Yikes. And all of this happened because Moses brought commandments down from the mountain. They were a covenant with God. God would be the God of the people of Israel and protect them, and the people of Israel would follow God's commandments. Except they didn't. You see, Jerusalem fell, the temple was destroyed, the people were sent into captivity in Babylon because they had forgotten the first commandment. I am the Lord your God. They had forgotten the second commandment. Do not worship false gods. And as much as Jeremiah preached to them and teached to them and talked to them and begged them, they kept worshiping false gods. They also neglected the poor and the needy. And they became prideful. You know, they would walk around and say, yeah, we're God's chosen people. Better not mess with us. But then they ignored their prophets, and they especially ignored Jeremiah. And so they ignored their prophets because the prophets told the people of Israel what they did not want to hear. God's covenant with the people of Israel had not failed, but God's people had failed. Following the covenant. And if you've ever heard the song, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Oh, we wept when we remembered Zion. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Oh, we wept as we remembered Zion. Will God give his children another chance? The people of Israel did not know an answer to that as they were in their 70-year captivity. So, dear God, please come into my mind and heart this morning. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, come into the hearts of your people here at our beloved Royal Oak Community Sanctuary and all the people watching online. Write your teachings in our hearts. Open our hearts to your covenant of love and grace. And be with us always as I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. But remember what God said. I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. And if you think about it, in our lectionary readings during Lent here in 2021, first week we had the covenant with Noah, second week the covenant with Abraham, third week the covenant with Moses, this week we have the covenant with Jeremiah. And all of these covenants are happening in a time of crisis. The covenant with Noah happened after the world had been destroyed. The covenant with Abraham happened when God said that he would repopulate the earth with the children of Abraham and Sarah. And the covenant with Moses happened as God led the people of Israel out of captivity in Egypt. You see, covenants come into the lives of the children of God when the children of God are in crisis. The people of Israel who were in exile and slavery in Babylon were in crisis. And if you remember what I said last week about the word crisis coming from Greek, and it means a turning point. Like in a disease, when the patient is in crisis and they may get better or they may get worse. But it's at those times that God brings his covenant into people's lives, giving them his grace so they can get better and better. And the new covenant that Jeremiah is talking about, the new covenant that is so much different than the old, is that this time God is placing the Torah. Now, people often translate Torah as law, but really it could be translated as teaching. God is placing his teaching in their hearts, not on stone tablets that are external. Not on stone tablets that can get broken. Not on stone tablets that can be stolen or buried or lost. But God is writing his covenant of love and grace in the hearts of the people of Israel. And as it happens, the heart in Jewish tradition was the center of a person's will and their intelligence. And so now the people of Israel had God in their hearts. And if they had never thought about that before, and maybe they hadn't, because they did have the stone tablets and the Ark of the Covenant, and that was God's law out there, they know from the words of Jeremiah, if they had listened to him, that God was coming into their hearts. And this new covenant language, this new covenant coming into our hearts, brings us out of the Old Testament and into the New Testament. Reverend Douglas Bratt talks about this very clearly. I want to give you his words. In Jesus Christ, Jeremiah's prophecy finds further fulfillment. After all, in John 32, Jesus says, "When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself." In other words, when Jesus is lifted up from the earth, when the authorities crucify Jesus, God writes his law on the people's hearts, not just in Israel, but to the entire world. And if you recall last week, our gospel reading, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." And so Jesus came into this world carrying God's new covenant of love and grace and forgiveness, literally in his beating heart. And it was that beating heart that made the sacrifice that gave us eternal forgiveness. And Jesus reiterated this new covenant in the blessings of the Last Supper. We are blessed to celebrate Holy Communion this morning. And as I bless the elements, listen to the words, "This is the blood of the new covenant, which has been shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. As often as you do this in remembrance of me." So Jesus is not only bringing the new covenant forward into the New Testament, but he is also giving us a job. "As often as you do this in remembrance of me. As often as you think of the new covenant of God's grace and love, bring it into your world." The new covenant that God speaks of in Jeremiah is based on his astonishing ability to forgive, his love, and his grace. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, understood this in a way that no one had before him. Because John Wesley, oh yeah, people talked about grace. But John Wesley looked at this grace, this covenant of grace, and said, you know, God's grace is the same, but the actions of God's grace change depending on what a person needs. And so John Wesley talked about prevenient grace, pre, before, venient, to come. So everyone in the world is in need of the grace of God even before they know who God is. And God is continually pouring that upon them because of this new covenant that God will write in their hearts. And then we have justifying grace, the action of justifying grace, which brings us in alignment with God, the action of sanctifying grace, which makes us holier and holier, more connected to God. But all of this grace is happening because of God's infinite ability to forgive us as part of his new covenant. And we see this in the words of verse 34. If you recall when I was reading Jeremiah this morning, that phrase, declares the Lord, kept popping up. Because Jeremiah was God's prophet. And Jeremiah was speaking God's words. And God's words were so wonderful. I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. And so, Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, whether you are in our sanctuary or at home, wherever you are listening, God still needs us to proclaim his extraordinary love and grace. The love that God has written in our hearts is not designed to stay there. It's designed to grow out of there. We have been doing this in the past year with all our online worship and our food pantry and our tending teams and our Halloween drive-through and our mitten tree and all of these things. And we are doing this now because, interestingly, every one of those ministries we started a year ago are still going forward. I want you to understand that. None of those ministries got dropped by the wayside. That's a testament to you guys. And we will be doing this. Who would have thought 2 weeks ago we'd have an Easter drive-through? That was still a gleam in the Holy Spirit's eye before he put it in JR's heart. And this is how God works, and he is working with us, and we are called to continue this work going forward. A new covenant written in their minds and hearts, declares the Lord. And the wonderful thing about God's covenant in our hearts is that it gives us an opportunity to fall in love with God. The Jesuit priest Father Pedro Arrupe wrote a poem. I cut it down, but it's all about this. His words, "Nothing is more practical than finding God, than falling in love with God in an absolute way. Fall in love with God, stay in love with God, and that will decide everything." God's love written in our hearts, leading our hearts, leading our minds, leading our hands, giving us voice, will decide everything. And so, Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, God is always calling us back with his grace, love, peace, forgiveness. Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, God is always offering us a chance to come home from whatever exile we have put ourselves in. and Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, your question as you go home today is, how will you decide to make the journey home? When will you decide to make this journey? And if you are on this journey, what will you do to bring forth God's new covenant of grace, of love, of forgiveness? I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. We can't ask anything more of God. So, we give thanks for God's great new covenant. We give thanks for Jesus bearing this covenant into this world in his beating heart. And we pray all this in the name of his Son, Jesus. Amen.